Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Dan Jacobs.
All right out to the Jägermeister hotline. If he's recovered from that marathon shift last night on Facebook Live right here on 104.3 The Fan. Mike Pritchard joins the program. Mike, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. You know, my eyes are stained with that performance last night, so couldn't really sleep.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Yeah, you know, that was for the fourth preseason game. You would think even the backups would be a little bit more crisp and a little bit more functionable, I think that's the word I'm looking for out there. But, yeah, that was just one of those going through the motions, let's get this thing over with attempts. So I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, so we've been having some fun with Vic Fangio during the broadcast, which you probably didn't get to hear this because you were on the air here. Rod Mackey interviews Vic Fangio right as he's running in the tunnel at halftime. It's like, well, what do you think of – in fact, Kyle, do you have it handy or no?
Have what?
The Fangio halftime clip for – just so we can play it for Mike. This is good stuff, Mike Pritchard. Fangio
– one awful.
Yeah, that's what he said of Kevin Hogan.
Oh.
What'd you think of Kevin Hogan? This and that, and it wasn't awful.
Yeah, well, he didn't say, you know, he didn't say anything glowing about Hogan, but I guess the fact that he said it's not awful, I don't know if that's a plus or a minus. To me, it's just indifferent. You know, the Broncos, they have discovery in front of them. Whether or not you go the route of Vic Fangio to the head coach and you think, okay, things are going to be better, you go out and you get Joe Flacco, you think things are going to be better. But you come to the realization that things are not better. You know, you drafted Noah Fant thinking, okay, that was going to solve your problem in the tight end room, but it hasn't because of all the injuries, you know, and you're still unsettled there. It's just move after move that the Broncos have made, not only the offseason, but through the draft and through preseason. It just doesn't seem like things have settled out for this franchise.
Let me ask you this since you brought – well, first off, let me just say this. This doesn't sound like my old friend Mike Pritchard. You know, we hosted some shows a year and a half ago, something like that, and you're very positive. And I was listening to you, 6 months ago, 4 months ago, and you said, hey, man, the Broncos have rebuilt. They did the rebuild on the down low. And now it looks like with your analysis, you're like, hey man – I like Dan Jacobs a little more because we're not just going out there and saying it's all sunshine and rainbows. It appears, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you have appeared to take a look at this team, and you've watched all these preseason games closer than probably anybody because you're doing the Facebook Live here on the station. You're not ready to crown anybody, it doesn't sound like.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll admit that I think the Broncos have done the rebuild. You know, the Broncos and John Elway, this is the way that he wanted to go about being, you know, rebuilding the team and certainly trying to be competitive. I always left it to interpretation in terms of, okay, they did the rebuild, but how good is a rebuild? So, I look at the roster and I look at the starters, whether offensively and defensively, and I still feel confident that they're an 8-8 football team. Now they have to stay completely healthy, 100% healthy, in my opinion, with the starters to get to 8-8, maybe 9-7, with the chance to steal a couple of games along the way. But how realistic is that? How realistic is it to believe that a football team can stay 100% healthy for a 16-game schedule? That's unrealistic. So that's why I'm kind of not fearful, but just cautious about the Broncos in the season this year. I don't know what kind of team to expect in 2019. They want to be more competitive. They are competitive with their starters. But past the starters, they are empty. And I just don't know how to go into the season, what kind of expectations to put on the season for the Broncos with that in mind.
Now, you mentioned the tight end room. I wanted to ask you about that because, obviously, if there was any big story out of the game last night, it was Jake Butt did return. He did appear to be healthy. He had some blocks. They really highlighted him on the television broadcast. And, you know, he had a couple of receptions. Fangio after the game said, yeah, he actually looked good. I watched him on some routes where he wasn't a target. He looked good. But as a business person, as an organization, you know, I saw Stokely on Twitter. He says, dude, I've seen enough. He's on the team. He's on the roster. But I talked to DMAC 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and he's like, they just got to get rid of this guy because you can't count on him to be healthy. I'm asking you as a player who's been through those aches and pains and now as an analyst, yeah, he came out for one preseason game for a couple of quarters, was able to keep it together, but this is a guy he's chronically injured, and you know that he has swelling in this knee, and it's probably going to continue throughout the season. Can you invest a roster spot on him? After last night, Jake Butt's on the team, Jake Butt's not on the team. That's the question that we really hadn't gotten into, was really if there was a compelling storyline from last night or a couple. Nothing, you know, we're looking for that diamond in the rough, you know, either on special teams or defense. I don't think we really saw that. We had the quarterback play, which was underwhelming, and then we had the Jake Butt situation, which was a question that, you know, we're trying to get Mike Pritchard back on here, and the question is, Jake Butt, yeah, he seems to be okay. You know, he seemed to be able to get through. He didn't play a full game last night, but he played a couple quarters or, you know, however many series he played, and he was able to block. He didn't look to be restricted. He looked to be back to Jake Butt, you know, which whatever we, you know, that entails, Jake Butt. But yeah, he had a couple catches and he looked okay. And like I said, Fangio said that he was able to actually look good on routes that, you know, he didn't even get the ball on. But can you afford, knowing this guy's injuries history, and you already have money? And Mike, we got you back?
Yeah, we're here.
So the question I was posing to you was, knowing his injury history, knowing you're probably going to keep Heuermann around with his injury history, can you afford, even though he looked decent last night, can you afford to keep Jake Butt on the roster, knowing that he's had swelling in that knee, that it's going to be difficult for him to stay 100% healthy throughout the season? After last night's game, your thoughts on Jake Butt?
Well, I thought Jake Butt would be a candidate for an injury settlement because he was a draft choice and, you know, he just can't get right. He can't stay on the field. But, you know, after last night, you think the coaches are looking for anything positive at this point for Jake Butt. I think he sticks around, but it's going to cost somebody else in terms of a roster spot. I mean, the Broncos are running out of real estate. They signed Theo Riddick, and I still don't know why they did that, but he's going to take up a roster spot. You know, you got Janovich, who's banged up right now, and he's going to take up the roster spot because you need a fullback. I don't think Aspen is ready to play fullback. So you have circumstances that are condensing the roster. Like, they're going to carry three quarterbacks now because I think it's to be determined what the backup quarterback situation is. So with all those roster spots that are being taken up and that prime real estate being taken up, Jake Butt, it just seems like the tight end room can be crowded. So if you keep Jake Butt, that means, okay, you're going to only keep four, maybe five wide receivers. You're going to keep limited numbers of offensive linemen and perhaps defensive linemen. So you just get thin in some certain positions where you would like to be padded because of injury. I mean, you would love to have the luxury to have multiple offensive linemen and multiple defensive linemen because those guys get banged up throughout the year. Even inside linebacker. I mean, the Broncos are seriously thin at inside linebacker, but because you might have to carry a fourth tight end due to injuries, that you just run out of room with the roster. So we'll see what they do. We'll see what kind of gymnastics they can pull off in terms of trying to keep a competitive roster for the 2019 season.
Would you keep Jake Butt over Troy Fumagalli?
That's a hard one because I think Fumagalli's got ability, but I know that Jake Butt is one of those guys. If before injury, I think he would have been a top, maybe second or third round pick in the draft that he came out in, but he had that severe injury. And he fell in the draft. I mean, that's the kind of talent you have with Jake Butt. But the uncertainty of the injury situation, it might make Fumagalli more valuable. So that's where it gets tough. The Broncos, if they had their choice, I think they would keep both of them just for that situation.
So you're talking about four tight ends then?
Right.
That's a lot.
Right, which is a lot. You know, they don't have a fullback, so they're gonna be a multiple tight end formation team anyway, because that's how you can get to the heavy packages without a fullback. And, you know, until Janovich comes back, they're not going to have the benefit of having a fullback, a lead blocker like that. So, to me, it makes sense to maybe carry four tight ends, and then when Janovich gets healthy, then that's when you reconsider to see if you need only three tight ends and a fullback now.
Moving on to the quarterback room, now there was a big conversation on the station this last week about, you know, should Brock Osweiler come back and be the number two quarterback with the Drew Lock injury? Has Kevin Hogan, now he's gotten nothing but underwhelming evaluation from his head coach, at least on the record. Is Kevin Hogan going to be an odd man out? Has he done enough? Has his body of work through these four preseason games been enough to get him the number two job with Drew Lock out? Or do you think would be smarter just to bring in a veteran?
One awful.
Well, it depends on – it really depends on the viewpoint of Vic Fangio and Scangarello, to be honest with you. If there is a quarterback out there that Scangarello feels more comfortable with, or the ability to acquire a quarterback that Scangarello feels more comfortable with, I think he'll make that decision over keeping Hogan. You know, Hogan, his familiarity with the offense is what's kept him on the roster, but his performance – it is nothing that you can believe in or buy into in terms of, okay, if something happens to Flacco, we're going to be okay. And I don't think the Broncos feel that way at all. If something happens to Flacco, the season is going down the toilet. So, you know, do you look at a situation in San Francisco, for instance, or even Atlanta in terms of, can we find a quarterback via trade or if this quarterback can anticipate a release? All of a sudden we can get that guy in here. I think the Broncos would do something like that.
All right, final thoughts on the game last night and where the Broncos are in at this point now. And by the way, same thing I asked James. How do we get through this last preseason game? How do we do it coming up on Thursday?
Well, they need a punt returner still. They need to cover – punts and kickoffs and all that kind of thing. So special teams, I think, is important. You're looking at some battled positions and some backup players, and you wonder if they can make the team and even make a contribution that way. But if you're going to watch this game, if you're going to tune in, just watch the special teams, the design of it, the performance of it. I mean, that's all effort guys out there at this point. And everybody's really shifting their attention towards Oakland in that Monday night game anyway. So, if all the other preseason games were meaningless, this one's even less than that. So there's a handful of guys that have a chance to make the roster. We don't know who those guys are yet. But to be honest with you, we're going to have to rely on Vic Fangio and that coaching staff to get this team ready through the remaining days of practice that they have before that first regular season game. So we're just going to have to rely on the information that we get from everybody who's covering the Broncos, as well as hopefully the coaches will be honest with us with their assessment of the football team right now.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Mike Pritchard on the Jägermeister hotline with God bless him, on the air for every second of the preseason game last night here with, I believe, Parker Hillis and Kendall Venezuela here on – we do the Facebook live broadcast, which is also simulcast on the airwaves here. But, you know, yeoman's work out of those guys. Appreciate Mike Pritchard's opinion. We'll get to a timeout here. It's the Dan Jacobs Show on The Fan.